too, because I think I am going to need to be saved. When my daughter finds out, no. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Philippians chapter 1. The title of my message this morning is A Departed Pastor. Departed, not departing. Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a prisoner in a Soviet prison in Siberia. He became so weak and discouraged that he wished he could die. The guards would beat and usually kill anyone that stopped working, so one day he decided that he was going to stop working. He had given up, and he just wanted one of the guards to beat him to death. Soon, another Christian came along and saw what he was doing. And he stooped down, and in view of Alexander, he drew a cross. Alexander said that he was encouraged by remembering that God gives hope and God gives courage. And he decided to continue working because of a Christian who cared too much to let him give up. And that is exactly what Paul and the Philippians were doing. They were encouraging one another. Paul, on his second missionary journey, had started this church in Philippi and pastored it for a period of time. And, you know, when we think about most of us, we think about our life. If you've been down the road a little bit, there are things that we can look back at, maybe past accomplishments or past, if you will, positive experiences. And Paul started a lot of churches. Most of the churches that are written to in the New Testament were started by Paul. He pastored them. And Paul, when he thought about this church in Philippi, he thought about it as being one of those pleasant memories. And so he's writing a letter to them. He's writing them and trying to encourage them. And many different things are coming to his mind. And many different things are being penned as Paul is scribing on the parchment paper. There are missiles. And there are rockets, but they're not missiles and rockets of destruction, but rather encouragement, because each one of them packs a powerful punch. They're there, as I mentioned, for encouragement and also for endearment. He had so many powerful things to say. And Paul's joy, as we think about it, can be seen oozing out of every verse of this book. Some of the things that we're going to look at this morning. Paul has not only established that he is joyful over their current state. He was looking at this church, and you know, you think about, again, pastors who have maybe pastored here and they've pastored there and maybe moved on to another church. And maybe some of the churches, they can look back and they can see something has happened since they've left. Maybe some of them have shifted. Maybe some of them have dropped the King James Bible, or some of them don't preach separation anymore, or some of them don't go soul winning anymore, or whatever it may be. But, you know, Paul was looking back at this church, and he was happy for their current state. He looked at the church, and he thought, you know what, this is still a good church. This is still a model church. They're still on the course. But not only was he excited about where they were, but he was excited about all of the memories that he had when he was there. Everything was encouraging. Everything was positive, filled with pleasant memories as a departed pastor. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace and goodness. We thank you, Lord, for this man, this missionary, this pastor who had started this church, but had moved on because his work was to plant churches. And he had done a wonderful and glorious job in doing that work. But he left part of himself in each and every one of the churches that he started when he left. And I believe no more so than this church here in Philippi. It was dear to him. And as we glean some things today from the truth of thy word, would you help us and would you be honored and glorified? And we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. There's an old couple. They decided that they wanted to try going south for part of the winter. And when we look outside, I went outside this morning and I was being pelted with snow. I thought, you know what, I might go with them. Amen. Who was with me on that? Well, this old couple decided that they wanted to go south for the winter. So they packed up their car and they started driving south and they got to the border. And when they got to the border, they, of course, you know the routine. They were there and they were talking to one of the customs officers at one of the booths. So the customs officer asked them a question, said, where is your citizenship? We've probably all been asked that when we cross the border. And the old man says to the officer, he says, well, we're both Canadian citizens. Well, the wife, who's a little hard of hearing, she pipes up and she said, what did he say? And the guy said, he just wanted to know what our citizenships were. And the guy says, well, where are you heading to? And the old man says, well, we're going down to the Tampa, Florida area. We're going to spend about a month's vacation down there in the warm weather and get away from this crazy weather up here. And, that's where we're going. Yeah, guy says, well, I hear the weather down there is pretty good this time of the year. And the lady pipes up again and she says, well, what did he say? Guy turns to him. He said, listen, he just wanted to know where we were going. And then turns back to the officer, and the officer says, yeah, I guess it's like 30 degrees, 32 degrees down there this time of the year. And the wife says, well, what did he say again? And the guy says, he just wanted to just tell me a little bit about the weather down there. The officer then asks him another question. He says, where are you coming from? He says, well, we live in Mount Bridges, a little town, just a little village, Mount Bridges, Ontario. That's where we're coming from. The wife was perking up. And the officer said, Mount Bridges. He says, I recall that I dated a girl for quite a while that came from Mount Bridges. And then he started recollecting again, and he says, if I remember right, the reason I ended it, because she was like the worst cook that I had ever met. It was awful. And I did break it off. And then the wife, she pipes up and says, honey, what did he say? And he says, well, he just said he thinks he knows you. We can all become discouraged, amen. We can all become frustrated. But Paul found it easy to be encouraged when he looked at this church. As I mentioned, not only for the past memories, but also for their current state. And he was going to recall some things. And that is my first point this morning, a call to recollect. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. I don't think we read our text. It's one of those mornings. Did I pray yet? Oh, we prayed? All right. My daughter is not expecting. Philippians chapter 1, chapter 3, or verse. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. The Bible says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice verse 3 here. The Bible says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And here, this is the idea again of recollecting, thinking back to all of those wonderful memories, the remembrance of all of the fellowship and all of the joy and all of the good things that Paul thought about. Listen, Paul was a pioneer. Amen. Paul went out and he started churches. Paul started a lot of churches. This church in Philippi was the first church to ever be started in Europe. Stop and think about that. Could you imagine being the first one to start a church in Europe? Paul had that distinction. Philippi was that church. And it was a special church for many reasons. He was thinking back to his days as the pastor there. The idea of recollecting, and you know, I remember my mom used to always, well, she would always talk about the memory, you know, when you get older, your memory starts going. A few of you are shaking your head. Some of you are looking like you don't know what I'm talking about. If you don't know, just wait a few years, you'll know what I'm talking about. Amen. And she used to always say, it's like you know, in the back of the hard drive, or you know, in the back of the filing cabinet, you got to dig through certain things to get them out again. And sometimes you don't even remember until somebody brings it up, and then it'll come to you. Amen. We just got too much information in there after all those years. So Paul, he pastored a lot of churches. He started a lot of churches. He did a lot of things. And now he's recalling. Recalling is like taking something, throwing it all on the ground, pieces, and picking them up one at a time. It's like going through your supermarket, going through your grocery store, and recalling and picking this and grabbing that. He's going through his memory banks. He's going through all of the remembrances, all of the thoughts, all of the things that he did when he was in Philippi. He's picking them off the shelf. He's picking them up off the ground and remembering them, bringing them back to remembrance. And he's happy, he's glad, and he's excited about what he remembers and about what took place there. He probably remembered when he first got there wondering how he would ever get a church started there. Maybe he remembers the doors that he knocked on. Maybe he remembers that first convert. And maybe he remembers his first individual that he baptized. Maybe he remembers when they constituted the church and they started meeting. They started preaching and the church started growing. And people started growing in the Lord. And people started getting excited about going out and winning others to Christ. And then, oh, the fellowship times. Amen. Amen. The food and the fellowship and all of the wonderful times, the pumpkin pies. I don't think they had pumpkin pies, but I'll guarantee if they did, he'd be recalling that one too. Amen. All of the good things. But all of those memories and all of the things that he thought of them revolved around their relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, it's one thing to have a big church. You know, I think every pastor would love to have 1,000 people. I hope he's got some help though if he got 1,000 people. But it's not about numbers. And one of the things that we're going to learn this morning, I think, from these scriptures is that success in a church isn't about numbers. You know, Paul never once said, you know, my greatest memory is how, you know, when we finally broke the 1,000 barrier, you know, when I baptized my 1,000th convert or whatever it may be. There's no recollection here of numbers. Not that we're not to win and disciple as many people as we can. We are still to do that. Don't get me wrong. But success isn't always measured by numbers. When we think about Paul's encouragement, when we think about what Paul was excited about here, it all revolved around their relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is success. That's when we know we are successful. That's when a church is successful. And you know, as a pastor, I would like to believe that, you know, in my ministry here, that I've helped to bring people into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. That is my desire, to see people walking closer with the Lord. That is success. That's when we've arrived. And Paul, like I said, he's looking back. He's thinking back. He's recollecting all of the encouraging letters that maybe they sent to him. Maybe all of the financial support that he received. Paul, as he sat down, I was going to say at his desk, but he had no desk in prison. As he sat down and as he wrote that letter, and thinking back, as he's writing, recalling all of those wonderful thoughts, that little smile on his face, that encouragement that was welling up in his heart, Paul begins to bring his recollections to the forefront. The first thing that he recalls was their giving. Look at verses 4 and 5 there. The Bible says, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. Look at verse 5 here. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. From the first day until now. As I mentioned, Paul was in prison. And Paul was about to die. At least he could be facing death. He knew that after he was gone, after Christ had called him home, he was fully persuaded that that church was going to continue on for Christ. They weren't going to backslide. They weren't going to fall away from the gospel. Paul was in a most joyful spirit, encouraged in prayer for them. Paul didn't find it a duty or a chore. He didn't fall asleep during prayer. You know, I'm going to confess, I've fallen asleep praying before. Sometimes I pray for hours. And you fall asleep. Paul, I could imagine, though, his prayer when he was praying for this church, he was so full of excitement and so full of joy, I don't think he was nodding off. I don't think it was a chore or a burden to pray for this church. I think he was excited in prayer. He prayed, the Bible says, with joy. You know, you think about prayer, we always think about intercessory prayer. You know, we're praying and it's benefiting the other person. But I'm going to say this. When you pray and you're praying intercessory prayers on the behalf of other people, it does you more good than it does them. You're saying, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I'm a firm believer that If you're having difficulty with someone, if you're having a problem with someone, or someone's grinding you, you know, the wrong way, grading you the wrong way, whatever it may be, you want to help yourself, get on your knees and pray for them. Amen? Get on your knees and pray for them. And I will guarantee you, when you get up off of your knees and you walk away from your prayer closet, you will walk away with a better attitude towards that person. And, you know, we're sitting there, maybe we're praying, God, help that person to get right. Help them to stop grinding their teeth during the preaching. Help them to, you know, fix their hair better because it really bugs me the way they do their hair. Or I don't like their tie. Amen. Those are pretty important things. You get off your knees and you know what you've done. You've just helped yourself because you've been praying for that person. And you're going to have a better attitude. And I would say, too, you know what, if you want, that's why I try and get so many people mad at me. Because if you get mad, you don't want to help someone, if you're mad at somebody, buy them something. Amen? Give them a gift. You're going, are you serious? You mean that guy, you know, that be nice to them, give them a gift? Yeah, try it. It will help your attitude. So, here was Paul. And he's praying intercessory prayers for these individuals. He's praying in remembrance and praying that God, you know, would you help that church to be a little more giving in their finances? No, he didn't have to pray for that. God, would you help them just to get along a little better? I hear there's all kinds of fighting and bickering, and they're fighting and fussing over where you say amen or amen when you're singing. If you're in Sunday school, you know what I was talking about. You know, they're fussing over this and they're fighting over that. He didn't have to pray those prayers. What he was praying was, God, help them to continue to be a giving church. Lord, help them to continue to be that wonderful example of a church that's getting along. Certainly, they weren't without problem. They were not. You know why they had problems? Because they were people. Because they were sinners. Paul was praying, encouraging them to continue doing right. And they had been doing right. Verse 5 there, I'm not going to get into all of the different ideas that go along with that. You know, there's people that talk about that fellowship being, you know, possibly... you know, their faithfulness in preaching the gospel, or consistency in their faith, their witnessing. I think it's clear. I think it's talking about their giving. And we find that fellowship being used with giving financial support in other places in the Bible. This former pastor, this departed pastor, the Bible says, from the beginning until now, you've been helping me out financially. And my entire message this morning is why you should continue to pay your pastor after he leaves. You know what? If God called me to the mission field, I would be blessed if you would support me. But that's not my message. Don't worry, okay? Paul was receiving money from this church. They were supporting him as a missionary. And Paul was blessed as he recalled since the very beginning that every time he went to the mailbox, there was another check in the mail. Every time it was due, every time he needed the money, he knew that this church in Philippi was going to have the money there. So that he could continue. And so that he could be all that he could be. From the very first day, they were consistent. And that's the second thing that he recalled was their consistency. And we find that in verses 6 to 8. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. And that's an important little phrase right there. As I mentioned at the beginning, this church was in Paul's heart. In fact, Paul had left a part of his heart there. There's no question this church was special. Goes on to say, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. But we find here that Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul is saying, again, he was in prison. He didn't know whether he was going to die. He didn't know whether he was going to be released. But one thing he was confident of, you know, that one thing that he was assured of is that if he was going to die, that this church was going to continue on for Christ. Amen? You know the old saying, when the cat's away, the mice will play. Right? And there is no question, there has been churches that have been discouraged when their pastor has left. They've fallen away. They've turned in the wrong direction, if you will. But Paul, you know, even as Christians, there are a lot of Christians that are like roller coasters. You know, one for a little while they're faithful, and another little while they're falling off, and for a while they're consistent in giving, and then it'll fall off, and church attendance will be good for a while, and then it'll fall off, and you know, their Bible reading, it's up and down, and it's like a roller coaster. And you know, Paul could look at this church, and this church, by the way, was made up of individuals. And if you have stable individuals, you have a stable church. And Paul looked at this church, and he knew. You know, one thing I'm going to mention as well is over the years, I've noticed that people's standards, people's convictions, They're kind of like water. And I'm going to say or explain what I mean by that. You know, it's like if a pastor maybe who's maybe a little more conservative and maybe would preach a little more separation, you know, and that pastor would leave a church and another pastor would come in and he was okay with this and he was okay with that. And suddenly all of those church members who, you know, wouldn't have dared ever, you know, get into that music or do this or do that or whatever it may be, all of a sudden it's okay with them. Well, I look at this church here, and Paul had these people established, and he says, one thing I'm absolutely convinced of, and I'm going to go to the extreme here. I'm not, you know, maybe talking about, you know, separation or whatever, convictions. But what would happen if a pastor came in here and started preaching some serious heresy? Again, I'm not priming anyone for anything here if a new pastor came in here, okay? But any church, right? Whatever it may be, Paul understood that if you know what, a new pastor came in there and he started, you know, some emerging guy and started saying, well, you know what, we don't really believe in judgment. You know, this idea that God's going to send people to hell, just, you know, that's not for today's Christianity. We're not going to win people to Christ if we preach hell, if we talk about negative things, if you're always harping about sin and obedience and faithfulness and doing all these things. You know, I think this church in Philippi, I think they would, in fact, I know, because Paul knew. Paul understood that if they had some charlatan come in there and start preaching heresy, that he would be out on his ear. Amen? You know, whatever it is, I would like to think, whether it's your own personal convictions or whatever it may be, you know, if some guy came in here, you know, God called me somewhere else, or I died or something, and you got another pastor, he came in here next week and said, you know what, it's okay to start, you can smoke marijuana as long as you don't get high. It's okay to drink alcohol. You know, it's okay to have a glass of wine. I'd like to think that most people here would say, hey, there's something wrong here. And you know, Paul's saying, you know what, I'm looking at your church and I nobody's going to knock you off course. You guys know what you believe. You're grounded in Christ. You're solid. Amen? You're solid. And I am convinced that that work that's been started in you will continue, not just till I die, or, you know, because if I heard you guys were drinking alcohol down there, you know what I would do, so you don't drink it. When I'm dead, everything will be a party. You know, he wasn't worried about that. He said, until the day of Christ, you guys are going to just keep on keeping on for the Lord. Their consistency was unbelievable. And Paul's confidence in them was wonderful as well. He didn't lose any sleep when he heard about the Gnostics and when he heard about the false teachers and those wolves in sheep's clothing. He wasn't worried if one of them was going to infiltrate. He didn't worry if they were going to fall off the deep end or get into Calvinism or get into something or go off course. He was confident. Verse 6 there, it talks about how Christ was building his church in Philippi, and Paul was confident of two things. First of all, that these believers would continue to respond to the light that was given to them. And you know, to whom much is given, much shall be required. And number two, that God would continue to draw them closer to him, bless them, and love them. Verse 7 and 8, this is why it's not meet for Paul to have them on the forefront of their mind or in his heart. It was not an inordinate affection. You know, when he talked about praying, that, you know, his bowels longing to be with them. He had such pleasant memories of being there. He just, man, I remember there was a couple, and they ended up, it's a long story, they had to leave where they were, and somebody had told them to go to New Hope, because that's a good church. And so they've been there for 15 years now. And, you know, I think of my memories at that church. And I, you know, not that we never had problems or almost had church splits because of amen or amen or, you know, but I think of all the fellowship and I think of the friends and I think of, you know, all of the good times. And, you know, it is a good church. It is a good church. I'm thankful for our church. Amen. A church should be a place where people enjoy coming, where we have fellowship in the Word of God. But the most important thing, And again, I'm going to go back to the beginning, is that the success of a church revolves around our relationship with Jesus Christ. And the closer we get to Jesus Christ, the better and better and better it will get. So Paul, you know, What an example. You know, you think about, people say, well, pastors have favorites, and people have favorites, and dads have favorite kids, and every kid in the world always thinks that their mom and dad had a favorite. It wasn't them. And, you know, amen, everyone's laughing because they know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, Paul did have a favorite church that he thought about, that he recalled and had recollection about. And it was because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray that as a pastor, that we are moving closer to Jesus Christ. Amen. That we're growing. Amen. In our separation, in our doctrine. Amen. I'd like to think everyone knows a little more they do today than they did last week. Let's be what we can. There's three things here that he talks about. What makes a church good? Giving. I think we're pretty good. Amen? I think we're doing good. Father, we thank you for this time together. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would work in our hearts and our lives, that not only would we be thankful for our church, but Lord, we would understand the blessing that we have in having a church that stands on the Word of God. When so much of the world is falling away into apostasy, Lord, we're certainly not a perfect church. But Lord, help us to be successful in our fellowship of the gospel, in our consistency, in all of the goodness that you've given to us. So, Father, would you bless for your glory? And with everyone's head bowed and eyes are closed, I preached to Christians this morning. But I'm going to ask if there's somebody here maybe who could honestly say, you know, Pastor, I know that I'm not saved. I know that I'm not a Christian. And I'm concerned. I want to become part of the body of Christ. Would you pray for me? Just quickly slip your hand up, or maybe you can just glance up here and say, Pastor, pray for me. With nobody looking around, say, Pastor, I'm not a Christian, and I'm concerned. Would you pray for me? Anyone at all? Just either quickly slip your hand up or just look up at me. Would you be then, here then as a Christian? And could you say, Pastor, I am thankful for the church, but I think I can do more to make it a church like Philippi. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Father, we thank you for those that were able to raise the hand, and I'm sure others may be in their hearts. But Lord, I desire nothing more than to be a New Testament church. I desire nothing more than to be what I need to be for your honor and glory, to preach the Word of God as it's intended to be preached. Father, as we have this altar call, if there's somebody here that needs to be saved again, I pray, God, that they would put aside pride or whatever it may be and come down to this old-fashioned altar. We'll have somebody take the Bible. We'll have if you're a man, we'll have a man take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Ladies, we'll have a lady take the Bible and show you how to be saved. But if you need to be saved, don't leave this place today without making that decision. If you're here, again, as a Christian, and maybe you've been taking some things for granted, maybe you've been a little up and down, we just pray, God, you would continue to speak to hearts. Would you come to this old-fashioned altar once again? We'll thank you, God, and we'll praise you and ask your blessing as we have this invitation. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together.